It's 2:30 p.m., March 8th, 2016. This is Ariana Hall, and welcome to Sweet Treats, where we share the sweetest treats in the valley with you, our listeners. And we're here today with the owners of Wonderlust Creamery here in Tarzana, California. Hi, Adrian and JP. How are you today?
Good.
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. So, why did you choose to name Wonderlust Creamery, Wonderlust Creamery?
Well, it's an ice cream shop inspired by travel. Every flavor is a destination. And we are personally obsessed with traveling. And we feel everyone in our age group loves to travel and explore.
Okay. So you did say that it has to do with it being international, and I did notice that the name of your ice cream flavors are internationally inspired.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit more about how you figured out the flavors?
Yeah. Well, we travel a lot, and in our travels, we've had a lot of desserts that are really exotic, and a lot of times I'll be eating something and I'll think, oh my God, this would be an amazing ice cream. For example, we've been to Croatia, and there they serve, you know, figs wrapped in fig leaves, and then they grill it and they drizzle it with honey. And so we've actually made a flavor with honey and fig leaves, and actually tastes a lot like the dessert.
Wow. Okay. So are any of the ingredients that you have to get for the flavors hard to obtain?
Kind of. It's, you know, it's kind of challenging to get certain flavors, considering they're, we have an internationally inspired flavor. You don't really find all those flavors at your typical stores where you get supplied for ice cream vendors. So getting flavors, it's kind of challenging driving around LA finding these ethnic stores that carry the flavors that we're looking for. So it does get kind of tough.
Okay. And where do you usually find these ingredients for your flavors? Do you...
Well, we go to ethnic markets. I've discovered a lot of Middle Eastern and Russian markets in the valley. And you'd be surprised at, you know, the exotic ingredients you would find. A lot of searching online. You know, and a lot of Asian markets. We go to Chinatown a lot, a few places in downtown LA that have really exotic things.
Some of the flavors you actually find in our backyard, too.
Really?
Yeah, like some of the sorbets we make. Like we made a pomegranate sorbet in the summer, and a lot of the pomegranates we pulled from our backyard. And same with, what was the other? About persimmon. Sorbet. My uncle had a persimmon tree. He brought us a box of them, so we kind of tried to melt those with some of the international ingredients that we used to make that sorbet.
What is persimmon exactly?
It's a fruit. It grows in the fall. It's very autumn flavored. It kind of has, it's crossed between an apple and I would say a potato.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what flavor do you usually use that for?
We did a spiced persimmon sorbet in the fall. So it tastes a lot like a baked apple or like the inside of an apple pie. It has that autumnal, like pumpkin spice flavors. Yeah.
Can you tell me anything about your favorite flavors that you guys have made?
I have a lot, actually. When we first opened, we had a flavor called burnt honey hojicha. So it was, we took honey and we darkened it kind of like a caramel. And then we infused the ice cream with hojicha, which is a roasted green tea. So it had a really toasty, like caramel flavor, but it was still complex from the tea. If you really like green tea ice cream, you would love hojicha ice cream.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Any of your favorites?
My favorite flavor changes from week to week. But if there's a flavor, I know it sounds really basic, but we have a smoky road flavor, which is imagine Rocky Road with smoked chocolate and toasted almonds, and we make our own marshmallows in-house. So it's kind of, I guess, a more complex, rocky road, but it's definitely a go-to. I mean, because we make new flavors every month, and I'll fall in love with one of the new flavors. Like right now, I've been eating, we have a flavor called Irish brown bread, and I'll probably eat that every other day, but, you know, everything always kind of reverts back to the smoky road.
Okay. So you mentioned that you change the flavors every month. Is that, so the flavors there now, will they change in a month, or will there be any that will stay for?
About half of our menu changes monthly. So we have some staples like the smoky road, like he mentioned. We have Thai tea. We have honey lavender. A few staples that don't go anywhere. And then about half of our menu changes depending on the month. Right now, we have a lot of Irish flavors for the month of March to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. A lot of my in-laws are from Ireland, so that's what inspired this month's menu. And then next month, we're going to see a lot of spring flavors, you know, with Easter coming and April, a lot of like floral and fruit flavors coming out to replace those Irish flavors.
Okay. So how do you come about actually thinking about the next flavors coming, other than, you know, the seasons or for the month?
We also look at what's celebrated in that month. So this month, St. Patrick's Day, you know, I thought of Irish flavors. Next month, it's a lot of, you know, Easter stuff. And then May is Pacific Asian Heritage Month, so it's going to be a lot of Japanese flavors. Yeah, basically seasonality, what's in season, and as well as what's celebrated that month is what inspires our flavors.
Okay, so when did Wonderless open?
We opened August 28th in last summer, or I guess the tail end of last summer.
Okay, so like 2015?
Yeah, 2015, okay. Yeah.
Okay. And what was the opening process like?
Kind of a nightmare, I would say. I mean, we were very fortunate that we walked into an old Cold Stone that closed down. Mm-hmm. And so we walked in and had all the equipment, all the necessary freezers and ice cream makers there ready for us. And all we kind of had to bring in was like our brand image and what we wanted to do and kind of redesign the interior. But kind of building out was kind of tough because it was the first time we've ever done anything like this. Having to deal with contractors and the city coming in, you know, they'll tell us everything's good one day, and then the next day they come in, we have to completely redo the whole ceiling. So it was a lot of, you know, little by little having to, you know, do changes even though, like, they had cleared us on certain things. So build out was kind of tough in the beginning. And then just learning how to make ice cream at that volume, that's like for like retail sale, that was a pretty challenging because none of us ever had any clue what was in store to make like almost 100 gallons of ice cream a week, and it got kind of crazy in the beginning. Especially like there was actually our second week on Friday, we come into work Friday into the shop, open it up, and I look in the freezer. And the freezer had been shut off since like 4 a.m. So our entire inventory for the weekend melted overnight. And so, like, and this was like 2 weeks in. It was our second Friday in, and it was crazy. I was the only one there, so I was, like, frantically calling my partner, Adrian, to come to the shop and see what was going on. And we had to close that Friday and make a whole weekend's worth of ice cream in about 12 hours. So we didn't sleep the whole night. We just made ice cream for like maybe 12 hours straight just so we can open up again on Saturday. So and little do I know, there's, I guess, sensors on your freezers that can alert you when your freezer goes out. And I guess that was an expensive lesson.
So do you guys... you two alone make the ice creams, or do you get help? Do your workers help you?
Well, currently it's just me and a sous chef in the kitchen. So there's two people working on the ice cream, and for now we're planning on keeping just a small group in the kitchen just to maintain quality and make sure, you know, we maintain a high standard for our ice cream. And then once we get everything on lockdown in terms of organization and a production schedule, we're going to start training employees to help us.
How do you promote your exotic flavors that you have?
Well, we're fortunate enough to live in, you know, Southern California, and it's very diverse and multicultural. And a lot of times we'll release a flavor and we'll think, might be a little too exotic, but surprisingly, a lot of people already know what, you know, about that flavor, what that ingredient is. So I think we're lucky to be in Los Angeles, where you don't really have to educate too much.
So let's focus on you guys for a bit. You can both answer the questions one at a time. But where are you from?
I'm actually born and raised here in the Valley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born and raised here in the Valley. Went to high school in the Valley. I went to Notre Dame High School.
Okay.
Went to CSUN. And then I went to law school in San Diego, but that was like a brief stint outside of the Valley. But I've basically been in LA forever.
What made you want to open the ice cream shop in the Valley? Does that have to do with growing up here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
you know, being from the Valley, you know, you venture out of the Valley, and a lot of people, when you tell people, oh, I'm from the Valley, they're like, oh, you're from the Valley. But I feel like people don't realize that a lot of people who are born in and raised here in LA actually are from the Valley. If you go outside of the Valley, it's a lot of people who move here from other cities trying to be an actor, actress, musician. And we're very proud of where we're from. And I think the Valley deserves, you know, good food as well, and artisan places, you know. So.
Yeah, I was really big on trying to open up in the Valley as well. We lived in West Hollywood for a little bit, and like Adrian was saying, people would ask us where we're from, and we say, oh, we grew up in the Valley, and they give us kind of like a stink face. And, you know, it's not like our taste in food changed just because we moved into West Hollywood or moved over the hill. So opening up in the Valley is kind of like a throw at them. So we're going to open up here, and we're going to do it the way we want to do it, and we're going to do the same things people are doing on the other side and kind of give back to the Valley. Because I feel like growing up in the Valley, everything you see as far as restaurants or ice cream or coffee, it's all big chains, big corporate, you know, chains. And want to do something different and try to maybe change the culture of the Valley. Hopefully, if people see, hopefully we're successful and people see what we're doing here, more people are going to want to do stuff in the Valley. Because I think there's a big population of people in the Valley who want to enjoy better foods, better, you know, not your typical, you know, not that I don't like McDonald's or Burger King, but I think people are tired of that.
Do you think you guys would open any other shops outside of the Valley or another location in the Valley?
Yeah, we're looking at a second location, you know, in other suburbs of LA. Highland Park is a possibility. We like how it's, you know, it has a lot of a high concentration of, you know, natives who were born and raised, you know, in LA. And we like neighborhood vibes.
Like smaller areas.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Like the Valley. what did you have to do to own your business?
It was kind of tough, like owning it in terms of, you know, like being able to own it, balancing in the beginning, balancing our work schedules are outside of the ice cream shop schedules with running it, because like I said in the beginning, we didn't know what we were doing and we kind of just got thrown into this, and we didn't expect to actually be having to operate it at the level we're operating it now so quick. So I actually had to leave my career to do it. So it was kind of a tough decision in the beginning, but kind of one I've been wanting to make for a while. That's hard. Yeah.
What was your career before?
I was an attorney for like 3.5 years.
Okay.
And I'm kind of glad I left. I feel like I'm an attorney in recovery now.
So, how long was the process of actually being able to own it?
I think we had the idea in January. I started doing research in January. I bought textbooks on the science of making ice cream. I bought a small commercial ice cream maker, and I started testing in my kitchen at home. And then I think April is when we found a space. May is when we signed the lease. And June is when we started the build out, and we opened in August, end of August. So it took about a couple months.
Yeah, it took a lot longer than we thought.
But we were really lucky because we had a pre-existing space that had a built kitchen. It had all the equipment. Had we not found that, I think the process would have taken a little bit over a year.
Did you guys want to own this business together from the beginning? How did you guys come up with this actual idea of owning your business and making it into what it is now?
Initially, my thought was it would take us some time to kind of build the business, get the, you know, develop the brand, and kind of develop the business so where it would just kind of grow slowly, because everyone told us going in, it's going to take, you're going to be negative for a whole year, and maybe after the end of a year, you might start getting customers. So that was kind of the narrative that we thought was going to happen. But going into it, I thought I was just going to work and go to my job and come help out at the end. But and Adrian was going to be making ice cream and running the shop most of the time. But it was kind of we opened a little bit bigger than we anticipated. And now, if you ever go to the shop, you'll never see Adrian because she's like making ice cream 24/7. And then we actually have to have employees now, so it's kind of a interesting process. It was kind of fortunate, and we kind of opened as well as we did. It's kind of fun and crazy at the same time.
Did you have to get a certification or a degree or anything?
No, I actually have a bachelor's in food science from CSUN, but I don't think that's necessary. It's very helpful because making ice cream is so technical as opposed to other food. But we are, our shop is actually a certified micro dairy plant because we pasteurize everything in-house. So we had to get a certification from the California Food and Dairy Administration. And we regularly get checkups from them. That's about it.
How much do you feel the business has grown since it's opened?
Well, when we first opened, we didn't plan on having any employees, and currently we have 12. And it's only been...
6 months?
6 months. So it's growing way faster than we anticipated. I think we're still trying to catch up with the growth.
Yeah, like, I mean, as far as, like, running a business, like I said earlier, we're completely new to this. So, like, we're learning how to be managers, learning how to, I guess, deal with HR, making manuals, training manuals, which is something we've been putting on the back burner for a long time now. So I think it's grown a lot considering, you know, we got through the winter time, and that's, I guess, generally not a busy time for ice cream, but, you know, we were busy enough for us. And then now we're heading into spring, and we're starting to see like a pretty significant uptick in sales again, kind of similar to summer, which is kind of worrisome for us because, you know, we're basically a two-man operation in the back making ice cream. So,
do you feel like you're going to train employees before it gets busy?
We're hoping to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think having 12 employees now, when you didn't feel like you were going to have any employees for a while, put you back financially in any way?
Not really. Because we planned on not having any employees at all because we planned on, you know, customers kind of just trickling in. Mm-hmm. And we didn't expect to open with such a bang. But I think the amount of business we didn't expect, I think that makes up for all of our employees now.
Okay. And where do you see Wonderless in 5 years?
It's a good question. You know, it changes from week to week what we want to do with it. Initially, we thought it was just going to be like our little shop, and it'll just kind of be our own little thing. But it's become a lot of fun because of how all the flavors are inspired by travel. There's so much we can do with flavors, and on any given day, you'll see Adrian coming up with random flavors, and like if she has maybe like 200 flavors in her head, and it's constantly growing. So, I mean, I would guess over the course of a year, she'd come up with like double that, and so I can see how this could be a fun process for a long time. So hopefully we have a couple more stores in L.A., nothing crazy. We can go 2 to 3 just to kind of, you know, get our product out there and share it with everyone. That'd be an ideal situation for us.
Do you have any advice for anyone trying to open a business like yours?
Yeah, you know, the hardest part about opening this business was actually taking the leap. We've had this on our, like, this idea on our minds for years and years. We always knew we wanted to be entrepreneurs, but we were always scared. But I would say the biggest thing about being an entrepreneur is actually just going for it.
Yeah, I would agree.
And, you know, taking the chance while you're young and you have nothing to lose.
And another thing is to don't listen to everyone else. Just do what you want to do. When we first started, everyone told us, I mean, to be frank, like, you're stupid for doing ice cream. Why would you do that? You know, just do what you're doing now. Like, you have a career. Adrian had her own thing going on. And we just kind of did what we wanted to do, how we wanted to do it. And looking back, the things that we changed with our current business model were the things that we listened to other people. And like, we find ourselves reverting back to what we originally wanted to do. So just stay true to yourself and just do it. And don't look back, because you'll probably regret if you didn't do it.
Okay, so Wonderless Creamery with exotic, internationally inspired ice cream is located right here in the valley on Ventura Boulevard. Is there anything else you would like to say?
No, just stop in and say hi if you're ever in the area.
Okay, this is Ariana Hall reporting for KPCRadio.com.
And that was Ariana Hall for Sweet Treats on KPCRadio.com.